Thanks. Good morning. Good to see you. Let's first off begin on Veterans Day with the right approach. Freedom, endowed by our Creator, defined by our Constitution, but defended each and every day by the men and women who proudly wear the uniform of these United States. Let's give a big round of applause. If you're a veteran, would you wave so we can thank you? It's Veterans Day today at the fair, but it should be Veterans Day every day. Thank you for your service. It's great to be at the fair. It's great to be in Iowa. We're going to keep coming back. We're doing the full Grassley, all 99 counties. We know that Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst and Terry Branstad and Kim Reynolds have done that. We're going to do that as well. I'm here today with my wife and one of my sons, Matt. We're having a great time. It's perfect weather today, huh? This is just right. Not too hot, not too cold. But you know, when you think about those veterans, we just acknowledge America is a can-do kind of country. Unfortunately, we got a government, Washington, that can't quite seem to get the job done, or as I call it, 68 square miles surrounded by reality. You know, that's what we're facing right now. And I got to tell you, these days, I'm not just frustrated with the president and with the Democrats in Washington. I'm frustrated with the Republican leadership in Washington as well. You see, they told us during the last election that if we just elected a Republican Senate, the leadership out there would put a bill to repeal Obamacare on the desk of the president. It's August. We're still waiting for that measure. We need to have some leadership in Washington. I think part of the reason why we see some of the things we see across this country is because people want to send a message. I talk to voters all the time in this state and around the country who said, we want to send a message to Republican leaders in Washington that when you make promises on the campaign trail, we want to see it. Whether it's repealing Obamacare or standing up against illegal immigration. You know, if it wasn't for me and 24 other governors who stood up and took the president to task and took him to court, that would have gone through. The president who said 22 times he couldn't do what he did last November when it came to illegal immigration, it took me and 24 other Republican governors to change that. We need leaders in Washington who will stand up against the president and say, no, enough is enough. America wants you to stand up for your promises. You know, for me, that's something I'm right at home with, because we didn't just take on the big government union bosses in Wisconsin. We didn't just take on the Democrats. We took on our own party establishment. You see, in 2010, in my state, I ran for governor because after my wife and I thought about it, talked about it, prayed about it, we knew, as tough as it is to win in a state like Wisconsin, Republican hasn't carried Wisconsin for president since 1984. That's back when Ronald Reagan was last reelected. And we knew that we had to do something because we saw the mess that was happening in our state. And for our children, for our sons, Matt and Alex, we wanted to do something better. You see, we inherited a $3.6 billion budget deficit, and we fixed it. We cut taxes by $2 billion today. Property taxes are lower today than they were before we took office. We defunded Planned Parenthood more than 4 years ago, long before those videos out there. We took on welfare reform and said, if you're able to work as an adult in our state, you got to be enrolled in job training and be able to pass a drug test before you get a welfare check in the state of Wisconsin. We want to make it easy to vote but hard to cheat. We require a photo ID to vote in the state of Wisconsin. We did all these common sense conservative reforms, and you know what? We got a great field of Republican candidates, probably one of the best fields since 1980. But there's a difference amongst all the candidates out there. And I'm here today to ask you for your vote, to ask for you to caucus for us. Because what makes us different is there's a lot of good fighters out there, but they have yet to win those fights in Washington. There's a lot of good winners out there, people who've won elections, but have yet to be in the fight over the last couple years. There's only one candidate in this race who has fought and won and got results, even results in a blue state like Wisconsin, and did it without compromising our common sense conservative principles. If you want someone who can win and get results and not compromise, I'm the candidate to send to the White House. You see, we didn't just take on 100,000 protesters, some of which you've come here today. But you know what? They didn't intimidate us in the Capitol. They didn't intimidate us in the Capitol because in America, they have every right to speak. But they can't drown out the voices of the millions of people who elected me in Wisconsin. And if you give me the chance as your president, I will not allow the few to drown out the voices of the many in this country. You see, the truth is things are better in Wisconsin because of our reforms. And if we can fix a state like Wisconsin, we can fix America. It's not too late. We can fix America. It wasn't too late in a blue state like Wisconsin. It's not too late to fix America going forward. You see, going forward, we can push true reform, taking power out of Washington and putting it into the hands of the hardworking taxpayers all across this great country in state after state. We need to take the power out of Washington. We need to send the power back to our state houses and back to our people. That's what we did. We took the power out of the hands of the big government special interests and put it back into the hands of the hardworking taxpayers. If we can do it over there, we can do it in Washington. And you know, unlike Hillary Clinton, who thinks you measure success in government by how many people are dependent on the government, we understand that true freedom and prosperity, they don't come from the mighty hand of the government. They come from empowering people to live their own lives and control their own destinies through the dignity that is born of work. I got that early in life. You know, as a kid until I was in third grade, I lived in Plainfield, Iowa, up in northeastern Iowa. And then we moved to Dullivan, a small town in south central Wisconsin. My first job was washing dishes at the Countryside Restaurant. And then we moved up to the big time. We started flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. Funny part about it is Paul Ryan was flipping them in Janesville. I was flipping them in Dullivan. The only difference is Paul was told he had to flip hamburgers in the back because he didn't have the interpersonal skills to work the front cash register. But I learned from those jobs and from my parents. My dad was a small-town preacher at the First Baptist Church. My mom was a part-time secretary. My grandparents were farmers who didn't have indoor plumbing until my mom went off to junior high school. My dad's dad was a machinist for 42 years at Barbara Coleman. I didn't inherit fame or fortune from my family. What I got was the belief that if you work hard and you play by the rules, you can do and be anything you want. That's the American dream. That is the American spirit. And that is what we're going to fight for going forward. You see, that's how we grow the economy. Not with more Washington. Hillary Clinton wants to grow Washington. Last year, 6 of the 10 wealthiest counties in America, you know where they were? In and around Washington, D.C. We understand that people create jobs, not the government, and it's time to get the government out of our lives once and for all. We start by repealing Obamacare and putting patients and families back in charge of their health care going forward. Next, we rein in the out-of-control federal regulations, be it the EPA that are killing our small businesses and our family farmers. We rein in the EPA. We rein in the EPA, and going forward, we pull in all the other regulations that are like a wet blanket on the nation's economy so we can get this economy really working again. We put in place an all-the-above energy policy that says we're going to use the abundance of what God has given us here in America and on this continent. You know, I'd approve the Keystone Pipeline on the very first day to give us one more tool to fuel the nation's economy. Fourth, to grow the economy, we get people the education and skills that they need to succeed in careers that pay far more than the minimum wage. I'm proud to say in my state our education reforms worked, despite what the naysayers said. Despite what they said, the facts are the facts. And 4 years ago, they said they'd be devastated. And yet today, graduation rates are up, third grade reading scores are up, ACT scores are second best in the country. That That's because we put power back in the hands of the people and the people you elect to be on your school boards. We need that nationally. No Common Core, no nationwide school board. We need control of schools at the local and the state level, not in Washington. And the fifth big thing to grow the economy is to lower the tax burden and reform the tax code on individuals as well as on job creators out there. You see, it's simple. I'm proud to say we've cut taxes in our first 4 years by more than $2 billion. We lowered them on individuals, on farmers, on manufacturers, on property owners. Property taxes today are lower than before we took office. We need real tax relief in Washington to get the economy going forward. And so we reform our government. We grow our economy. You see, it's a great test with the protesters, because you think you want someone tough. There's a lot of people that talk tough. I'm the only one who stood up to 100,000 protesters, stood up to the big union bosses. I'll stand up to Washington, regardless of party, and fight for the American people. See, the big government special interest, he wants to know about a warning. The warning is, if you want a balanced budget, if you want tax relief for hardworking people, if you want better schools, if you want a better life for farmers and manufacturers and others, then that's the warning. The left doesn't want me to be your nominee, because they know I don't just talk, I actually deliver on my promises. I will do that as your next president going forward. And Lord knows, not just on the economy, but when it comes to safety, we need a president who has the courage to stand up to anyone in the world and do what is necessary to protect our children and our grandchildren. If I'm the president, I will take the fight to ISIS instead of waiting till the fight comes to us. Again, unintimidated. I am not intimidated by you, sir, or anyone else out there. I will fight for the American people over and over and over and over again. You want someone who's tested? I'm right here. You can see it. This is what happened in Wisconsin. We will not back down. We will do what is necessary to defend the American people going forward. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have failed this country. They are leading from behind. We need a president who will stand up, just like Ronald Reagan did, a governor from California who stood up and rebuilt our military, stood up for our allies, stood against our enemies, and stood for strong American values. If you give me the chance, I will not be intimidated, just like I wasn't intimidated here or anywhere else. This is why I love coming to Iowa, because you lay it right out there. There's no filter. There's no hiding behind the national media. It's happening right here and right now. And if that's what you want out of your next president, someone who will not back down, then I ask for your vote. I ask for you to caucus for us. I appreciate it, and I'll try and take a couple questions.